This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to another Joy 94.9 podcast.
Tuna. It's one of the world's most popular fish, and it's found in many a restaurant, in many a sushi roll, and even many a cat bowl I've found. My best friend even had it for dinner last night, and she was telling me about this great tuna that she had. But it's actually, there is a growing threat for the extinction of tuna. Most people probably don't realise that tuna is on the verge of extinction in many parts of the world. Huge growth in demand has been disastrous on the fish, and it's maybe starting to disappear off your dinner plate, off your sushi roll, and out of your cat bowl. To tell us more about it, joining me on the line right now is Jilly Llewellyn. Did I get that surname right, Jilly?
Yeah, sorry, Llewellyn.
Llewellyn.
It's a Welsh name.
Forgive me. Now, tell me about why is tuna becoming extinct?
Oh, look, it's I mean, basically, the issue with tuna is it's a highly desirable, high value product, and that means it attracts the interest of fishing nations all around the world. And the trouble is, you know, a lot of tuna is found in sort of the high seas and the open oceans. In the areas outside the management of sort of individual governments. And I think it was, you know, back at the time of Darwin that we had this, you know, philosophy, and I think, you know, Huxley coined it, the ocean is an endless bounty. So people have this impression that you can just go out there and harvest as much as you can, and there'll be more tuna next year, and you can keep on coming back and harvesting as much as you can. And, you know, we know that's fundamentally not too true about natural resources, and we're literally seeing the collapse around the world of the sort of the most highly valued tuna stocks, the ones that are worth most in the marketplace. And those are the species like the bluefin tuna and the big eye tuna and the yellowfin tuna. I mean, I think the bluefin tunas that we find that spawn close to Australia, and then, you know, they swim around the oceans, they've literally been decimated. What the scientists say is that they're down to less than 10% of the stocks they used to have. So, and that's a pattern that's repeating itself in the Mediterranean and increasingly across the Pacific. So, you know, the current kind of dash for fish and kind of taking as many as you can, or as many as you can get the commissions that manage them to let you get away with, it's literally decimating our fish stocks, and it's going to drive them to commercial extinction. And then once one's gone, you know, you just switch your attention to the next one on the food chain.
So is there nowhere in the world that is actually regulating how many tuna you can catch?
Oh yeah, look, I don't want to misrepresent the management framework. There is a management framework that's been set up under the FAO, the Food and Agricultural Organization sort of framework, and there are commissions that meet annually, and they're given advice by scientists, and then as a commission whose members are all the sort of fishing nations and countries with an interest in the fish, they'll decide amongst themselves what level of sort of quota and catch to set. But one of the big problems is that, you know, the scientists will recommend deep cuts to try to, you know, regrow stocks to a healthy level, but then the fishing entities will be sort of, I suspect, driven by sort of short-term economic gain. They won't agree to those very precautionary, conservative amounts, and instead they'll want to keep on fishing hard. And the result is that, you know, as years go by, there's less and less fish. You know, there's more and more, I guess, economic imperative to go catch the next ones in the next year. And we're seeing this picture of decline.
So basically, their own scientists are recommending a range, and they're just going, nope, we need more than what you recommend, and ignoring their scientists?
Yeah, look, I mean, just as an example, I think last month there was a meeting in Marrakesh in Morocco where they were looking at the management of the bluefin tunas in the Mediterranean, and the scientists clearly said, look, you know, 22,000 tons is, sorry, you know, 8 to 15,000 tons is what we'd recommend to scientists, and even that's, you know, maybe not as precautionary as what's needed. WWF actually said we should close the fishery. If you want to, you know, build up your natural capital again, why don't you give it a rest for a few years?
Yes.
And let the stocks come back. But they didn't agree to that level. They agreed to continued fishing at the level of 22,000. So, you know, maybe almost double what was actually recommended by the scientists.
Do they also set, like, size limits? Like, you can't, they've got to be a certain size before you can catch them, or does it not matter? You can catch a baby one, you can catch a big one.
And And, you know, that's one of the problems is that they're being caught, often these tunas are being caught at different stages of the life history. So some are being caught as juveniles and then sort of fattened up. So they never reach reproductive maturity. You can't have a next generation if you don't allow, you know, the fish to grow up and become adults and, you know, meet boy fish to meet lady fish and to reproduce. And then sometimes, yeah, there's fishing taking place, you know, during those spawning seasons. And I guess, you know, it would be a fairly basic principle. If you do want a next generation, then don't fish the ones that are coming in to spawn. Let them spawn so you've got, you know, babies in the system.
Yeah, so they're basically not only taking too many tuna, but they're also breaking up the breeding cycle.
Yeah, look, that's one of the problems. And the sorts of solutions that WWF's calling for, because, you know, we think it can work. You can have responsible, precautionary fishing that would allow you to take a sustainable level of take every year, but you've got to have some sort of fundamental principles in place. And that includes things like, you know, protecting the spawning areas, setting those aside, saying no fishing on the spawning grounds, that they're essential to the future of the fishery. You know, let's set those aside. And similarly, you know, potentially stopping fishing during the close, during those sort of those seasons when the fish are spawning. Maybe setting aside other areas to sort of, you know, in a way, create a system, a sort of a safety net for the fish, so you can kind of. It would be like securing capital in the bank and agreeing we're just going to spend the interest. And when you actually realize you're eating into that capital, then you kind of put a halt and say, okay, hang on, we need to rebuild the capital. What measures do we need to put in place? So we were calling for the closure of the Mediterranean to give those stocks a rest. That wasn't agreed to. The next meeting is coming up next week, actually in Korea, and they're going to be looking at deciding the future of yellowfin and big eye. And basically, these are the three species: bluefin, big eye, and yellowfin. These are the sort of the red fleshy tunas that you'll see sold in sushi. They're different. You see a different species in the tin tuna. Those are the sort of the albacore and the skipjacks, and the ones we're really concerned about, because the ones that are most critically depleted are the ones that go towards those sort of red flesh steaks. So that's the yellowfin, the big eye, and the bluefin.
And one of the interesting things I found out also that some countries the tuna's actually being stored and not actually used. So they're possibly fishing more than they actually need as well. Is that right?
Well, look, that might well be the case, and we often look at things like the trade data of the amount of tuna that's sort of reported as coming in and out of the countries, and, you know, you're checking that against what's emerging in the markets to get a really full picture of who's catching what and who's catching how much. But yeah, it's quite conceivable that people could be stockpiling tuna.
Okay. Now, we're having a bit of trouble with the legislation at the moment, but you have had lots of distributors in lots of countries have actually stopped serving tuna. Is that right?
Well, look, and you know, one of the way to go if you're not getting traction with the policymakers and the government when they're sort of sitting around the table, another way to get. To get governments to listen to, you know, the sensible course of action, the sort of precautionary and long-term sustainability course of action, is to actually start working with consumers and retailers. Because if consumers have a concern about a particular commercial product, a commodity, then can be persuaded that to stop buying it, then that's a very powerful message to send to the politicians, and that's the type of campaign that was being run in Europe. And, you know, we had thousands of people sign up to petitions, and a number of the major retailers, you know, call on governments to support the closure, to help safeguard the future for tuna.
So big sorry?
No, go ahead.
I was going to say there's big organisations in France, in Norway, Germany, in Switzerland and places like that, also Spain. How's Australia actually been?
Well, in Australia, what we've been promoting is this notion of certification of seafood products, and so we're working here to promote the idea that there's an organisation called the Marine Stewardship Council that looks at sustainable fisheries and gives them a tick of approval if they put themselves forward to be examined and are found to kind of meet the high standards. And so we're trying to promote this notion of being able to give consumers and retailers choices in the marketplace so that they can know they know which ones they can buy with a clean conscience. The decisions on the bluefin tuna that are found around Australia, the ones that I mentioned earlier, the meeting on their the meeting about their stocks this year wasn't making decisions on how much to take, but they will be making decisions next year. And I think, you know, we're looking closely at what's happened in the Mediterranean to think about what type of messages we might be putting forward in the next 12 months.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time to have a chat to us today. It's scary to think that probably one of the main fishes that we eat, tuna, could actually one day not be available, isn't it?
Yeah, look, it's really that there is a crisis in the oceans, and I think we don't, often we, out of sight, out of mind, underneath the surface of the ocean. But you take some of the creatures that are literally the lions and tigers of the ocean, the sort of the ones that are at the top of the food chain, and these are the tunas have been called the sort of the Mercedes Benzes. They're so fast swimming. They're like, they're shaped like torpedoes. They are, they're the top of the food chain. The other fish that are out there that are literally being decimated are the sharks. And so WWF's having a really hard push right now to try to get reform both globally in the fisheries management area, but also domestically. We'd love to see Australia be a champion, particularly on the issue of saving our sharks. I just think it would be very sad if we, 10, 20 years to come, talking to our kids and grandkids, and we say, oh, well, look, dinosaurs went extinct because a meteorite hit the earth, and, well, sharks went extinct because people liked a certain type of soup. I mean, that's not a future I want, so we're calling on the Australian government to take a real leadership role there with helping protect sharks, as well as tunas.
And are they reacting positively to that, are you finding?
Well, we know that they're in the process of reviewing the National Plan of Action on Sharks, which is the sort of the government instrument. But more fundamentally, there's a decision on the table right now involving the Great Barrier Reef Marine Park and whether to give the green light to developing shark fisheries there. I mean, they're catching sharks at the moment, but they haven't actually called them shark fisheries as such. But the proposal from the Queensland government is to go down a path where they actually start up, formalised shark fisheries, and we're strongly calling on the Queensland Premier to say no to that. I just think it's not a good look to be fishing sharks in the Great Barrier Reef World Heritage Area, and there's workable solutions that would allow you to phase that out.
Well, Jelly, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us today and letting us know that about tuna. It's really, really quite scary.
Thanks, Adam.
There you go. That is Jilly Llewellyn. She is the WWF Oceans Program Leader here on All Natural with Adam Barilow.
This has been another Joy 94.9 podcast. Joy 94.9 is a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station committed to providing a voice for the diverse GLBTI communities. You can support our work by becoming a member or making a donation. For details, go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.